Don't think I need to tell you, there is a lot going on right now in our world. I think particularly this past week could be one of the most intense weeks I think I've experienced in recent memory. All that's going on in politics, with the seeking to appoint Judge Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, and what's going on in our church and the Vatican and the priest scandal. And then all the stuff that we have in our own personal lives as well, the drama that goes on there, and all that together swirling around can make for pretty stressful times. So good that we are here this morning to humble ourselves and to turn to our Lord and to ask Him for the direction that we need to help us to navigate these difficult times. And they are difficult. A lot of stress, a lot of anxiety in a lot of people's lives. Maybe you're not feeling it. Maybe you're fine. But for those who are, you know, stressed, today our Lord comes to us, I think, with beautiful compassion. We need to hear today's words. And I think today our Lord is addressing the issue of sin. And I don't think just sin in general, but sin in each one of our lives. And you might say, well, how is this helpful? Well, I think if this week showed me anything, it shows me the impact of how sinful, selfish, lacking in charity, I think, kind of events can really distort who we are as God's children. I see a lot of division, a lot of anger, a lot of animosity, as you do. And I think what happens is we forget that at the root of this is this evil one, of course, but that sin, how it impacts us and how it can distort really who God made us to be. And I see a lot of distortion. It takes beautiful, sin does, and it makes it ugly. It destroys us. Divides us, and ultimately it can do damage to our soul. So the world we live in will often lead us to a misunderstanding about the impact of sin, because the world in many ways says, in addressing sin, oh, don't worry, you know, God understands, he knows, you know, He loves you. You can, you know, you sin, okay, but at least you're trying. You know, what's the big deal? And so the world in many ways tries to minimize the impact of sin. But that's not the compassion that we hear from our Lord today. That's not how our Lord addresses the impact of sin in our lives. Listen again to His words. Our Lord says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Better to go through life with one hand than to Gehenna with two. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better to be blind in one eye than to go to Gehenna with two. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better to go to heaven with one foot than to Gehenna with two. See, our Lord is saying that we need to deal with those things that cause us to sin. And yes, He's using dramatic language. I get that. You know, it doesn't mean for us to pluck out our eye or cut off our hand. It's not taken literally. It's meant to be dramatic, though, to what? Wake us up. Get our attention to say, you know what? There are real things in your life, in my life, that can impact us in a very, very negative way. More specifically, can impact our relationship with God and distort how we see His love for us and how we love one another. And so what I see and saw in display this week in the media, in our government particularly, was certainly a lack of charity. A lot of judgment, a lot of harsh words, a lot of division. So what's the root of that? And I think our Lord is telling us today we need to deal with the impact of sin? Does he say it in a way that makes us feel warm and fuzzy? He's not trying to be warm and fuzzy. I want Jesus to be, you know, the gentle shepherd and the, you know, the one who's just the divine physician who heals us and whatnot. But sometimes he applies a stark, harsh remedy. And that's what he has for us today. And this is who Jesus is. This is the person that we follow. So what can we do? If we want to follow our Lord Jesus and apply the remedy that he gives us. You know, and I was just thinking at the beginning of Mass too. We do this already in Mass. Every Mass, the priest says, let us call to mind our sins to prepare our hearts. Let us call to mind our sins. And what do? We pray that act of contrition. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words and what I've done and what I've failed to do. Through my most grievous fault, right? This is that beginning of Mass. So it's that acknowledgement, first off, that the church so wisely sees that we need to do. And then it's followed by the Kyrie. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me, right? A sinner. And again, this isn't warm and fuzzy. This isn't meant to make us feel good. This is applying sometimes a direct remedy to a wound. You know, a hurt that sin often inflicts. And again, I just saw that on full display this past week. People don't want to necessarily name it, but there was a lot of culpability, a lot of people at fault, not seeing beyond their own selfish interests and selfish desires. So we follow the Lord Jesus and he gives us this remedy. What's the first thing that we need to do then? Well, we did it at the beginning of Mass. We do it at every Mass. We need to name our sin. We call to mind our sins. We need to name it. And this can be difficult. So I just encourage you to do this in prayer. To say, Lord, I know you are merciful. I know you love me. But I know that I have turned away. And I want to come clean. And so, specifically, Lord, I know these are the things that I have done that have hurt that relationship with you and with others. And so it might be in it for yourself. It might be you're in an inappropriate relationship with someone. Someone you're not married to, you're not being fully chaste in that relationship. Okay, acting like a married couple, but you're not married. You know what I mean. And what happens? Well, this cuts us off from a loving relationship with God. I'm not making a judgmental statement here. I'm just saying that our actions have ramifications. And so we need to be aware of that. Lying or gossiping is a form of lying, speaking untruths about others. Right? That's one of the things that certainly can come up at work or at school. We say things that we don't mean about others or that things that aren't true about others that are hurtful and hateful. And we go down the list, stealing, cheating, all the Ten Commandments, missing Mass on Sunday for no good reason, looking at inappropriate content on the internet, being disrespectful for others. So whatever your sin is, and we all have them, but the first step is we have to name them. You know, in the AA, I've said this many times, but it's good, it's worth repeating, the AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, is based on this premise, that we have to be able to name. You know, we come in, we introduce ourselves, and then we say, I am an alcoholic. Why do they do that? It's full disclosure, right? It's coming clean. It's saying, I claim it. This is what I am struggling with. This, in alcoholism, isn't a sin, but we need to claim it in our own lives, whatever it is that our sin is, to name it. And that's not easy to do. It's not easy to do, but that's what usually happens in the sacrament of confession, too. And what happens, we know if we celebrate that beautiful sacrament, we go in there and we name our sins as succinctly and as accurately and to the point as we can make it, then there can be an opportunity for healing. Then you've opened the door for the grace of God to come in and to heal you. Then you're no longer a slave to the sin. But if we can't name it, what happens? It continues to control us. And we see so much hurt in our culture, in our families, in our own lives as a result of the inability to name those and to own it. To name those things that bind us. Sin is like a chain. It It just binds our hands and we can't act in the fullness of who God created us to be. Right? We're hampered. We're handicapped in a way by our sinful actions that we cannot name. So that's the first thing. The second thing we need to do is to repent. The first words out of Jesus' mouth in the scriptures, you'll go, his first homily, if you will, his first preaching, where he was speaking, the first, very first word, you know what it was? Repent. Repent. So how do you repent? What is this repentance? Well, it's coming to our Lord again and expressing a sincere sorrow, or contrition, we call it. And again, we made an act of contrition at the beginning of Mass. That's what we call that. I confess to Almighty God. It's called the act of contrition. Lord, I'm sorry. And we know the importance of this. When we've offended our brother or sister or a friend, family member, we have to be able to say, I'm sorry. And to be big enough to be able to do that. And again, that's not easy. That's not easy stuff. Because what does our culture say? Many times our culture says, you did me wrong, so guess what? I get to do you wrong. In the Old Testament, we call that an eye for an eye. Retribution. You owe me because you wronged me. See, that's not the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is a higher way. It's difficult, yes. But it says, I own it and I'm sorry. And I have sorrow for that. I grieve that. I mourn that. Lord, I'm sorry for turning away from you. And this is how the Lord set it up, that we have to experience this. Is it easy? It's not easy. It's not pleasant. But it's the way of the Christian. It's what sets us apart as beloved children of God. We cannot act like what we see going on in our media, what we see in some of the hierarchy of the church. There's a lot of denial and cover-up and sadness as a result. Tragic, division, hurt, anger. All because of this inability to repent, to own up to our sin, to name it, and to really be sorry for it. To mourn it. So the third thing we need to do after we name it and we are sincerely sorrowful for it and repent is that we have to change. Now that whole Jesus cutting off, very, very visible. Everyone can understand that at a very young age you can get that imagery, you know, cutting off. It's not good for you. Stop it. Now, so many people come to me with addictions to internet things that are going on that aren't appropriate. You have to cut it off. You have to utilize tools that would prohibit you from going there. But how do we do this? Well, we can't do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. We have to call upon the Holy Spirit to help us get out of that sin. You don't have the strength on your own. I don't have the strength on my own. We're not capable of pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps and just say, oh, I can do this. I'll just will it. I'll just make this happen. No. It's by God's grace. So blessed that we have confession so many times a week here, because I just see the beauty, the miracles of God's grace changing and transforming people's lives who struggle with real issues. But they come before the Lord in humility, naming them, wanting to, and claiming and being sorrowful for them and really wanting true change and knowing that it is by God's grace. I love the fact that we have adoration 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anytime. Provided you sign up and you have the key fob, you can go in there and you can come before the Lord and bring those things that weigh heavy upon your heart. See, I didn't see a lot of that going on this week. I didn't see a lot of invoking the Lord in a good way and inviting Him to be a part of the conversation. I see a lot of people distancing themselves from God's love. I see a lot of isolating and name-calling, a lot of division, but I don't see inviting the Lord to be a part of this conversation. And so we desire that change because, you know, we're good people. You know, for the most part, we desire to be good. That's the desires of our heart. There's evil in the world, and there's people who cooperate with that. I get that. But the people who are here, you understand that you're created in God's image and likeness, and that you are made very good, I hope. in a culture, despite a culture that says you're in many ways, we don't matter. But we turn to our Lord, we repent, and we seek Him with a sincere heart. Here's the danger sometimes, though. People say, well, you know, I'm not a saint, but I'm okay. You know, none of us are perfect. But sometimes I think we can talk ourselves into justifying our sin. Well, everybody's doing it. You know, and this is the way it is. I'm just not perfect. Well, that's not the Lord's way. Never make peace with your sin. Never make peace with sin. Never say, well, that's just okay. It's just the way it is. We have to stop making excuses. We have to own it. Call it what it is. Sin. Sin in my life and in your life, in our world. But it doesn't define us. I don't let sin have the final word in my life. It's not just like I'm just going to say, well, that's just the way it is. I refuse. Our Lord says, cut it off. Pluck it out. Now, if you're feeling really bad about yourself right now, Father, you're laying it on a little heavy, aren't you? This whole sin thing. This is not about guilting you. It's not what it is about. It's not from God if you're feeling like, oh, I'm never going to be good enough. The enemy wants you to wallow in your sin. He wants you to be depressed and agonizing over all the wrong that you've done. That's not of God. Your sin does not define you. And acknowledging it, it can help refine you, though. Acknowledging that you have done things that are not good, starting with you. And I think our country right now needs to do a lot of soul searching. A lot of folks need to look into their hearts and you say, you know what? I've got stuff in my life too that I need to deal with and be honest with. Before I start casting stones at everyone else out there who's all, you know, what about me? I start with me. But my sin doesn't define me. It doesn't have the final word. In the Holy Eucharist, at every Mass, when we receive our Lord in Holy Communion, that is meant to help us to change, to become that beautiful creation that God has called us to be. It is helping us to become the saints that we are called to be. In receiving our Lord in Holy Communion, we are in union with the one who makes us whole, who does not, who refuses to let sin define us. He is our strength. And apart from Him, we can do nothing. I acknowledge my sin with Christ. I repent of my sin, and with the Holy Spirit alive in me, I have the grace to avoid whatever leads me to sin. I need a Savior. You need a Savior. We all need someone to save us from those things which keep us from God, and that is our Lord Jesus. Our God knows that. That's why He gave us Jesus. He gave His only Son. That's why He died, to save us from our sin.